without stepping. I went to the store club. Hedy Lamarr sat at a table right across from me. Of course, I winked at her.
Yeah, what did she do?
What did she do? She sent a waiter over to ask me for a dance.
She did?
Yeah. He was a pretty good dancer for a waiter, too. But seriously, I would like to show you the first girl I ever met in the United States. It was the second week I was down here, and I had a blind date. Somebody gave me this girl's address, and I'd never seen her before, so when I walked up onto her front porch, she was standing there waiting for me. Are you Betty?
Why, yes.
Well? Hello?
Alan Young, it's you.
Yeah, and it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well?
Well?
Should we neck?
Oh, why don't we just sit on the porch swing here? I don't want to wake up Grandpa.
Okay.
Oh, it's fortunate we got together.
Yeah.
You know, my being here is quite unexpected.
So is mine. My mother wanted a girl.
Do you do much reading, Mr. Young?
Well, yeah, I read all kinds of books.
Oh, good. So do I. Do you like liver women?
Yeah, but I like books, too. You care to feel the muscle in my arm?
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Your arm is as hard as a rock. How did it get that way?
Got a rock up my sleeve. See, Betty, you know, you're about the prettiest girl I ever saw.
Oh, Mr. Young, you're fooling.
Yeah. I like you, Betty.
I like you, too. Mr. Young, are you going with anybody?
Yeah, anybody. I had a girl once, but I quit going with her because she was so deceitful. Mm. Every night she used to tell me to put my arm around her because she was cold. And she wasn't.
What did you do when you were sitting alone with a girl like this?
We used to play post office.
You did?
Yeah. We just sat there, and I opened my mouth, and she rammed a package down my throat. It's getting a little darker, getting a little quieter, too. Betty, will you sit on my knee?
But, Mr. Young, what about my grandpa?
You'll have to stand. I can't seat the whole family. Betty?
Yes, Mr. Young?
What I'm trying to say is, are you doing anything tonight?
Why, no.
Oh. Yeah. Doing anything tomorrow night?
Why, no.
Oh. You doing anything Friday night?
Why, yes. I have a date Friday night.
Oh. Well, some other time, I guess.
But, Alan, you were going to ask me something.
Yeah, Betty. I was wondering...
Hey, what time is this to be making love to my granddaughter?
8:30.
Oh, all right. Good night.
Good night. Yeah, Betty, what I'm trying to say is, do you believe a fella should kiss a girl right away?
Alan Young, you want to kiss me?
No? I mean, yes.
I don't know what to say. I've never kissed a man before.
Well, neither have I, so we start even. I've wanted to meet a girl like you, Betty. I've wanted that more than anything else in the world. Even more than a hat with cherries. Of course, I don't show my excitement because my technique is the calm, sophisticated.
Alan, you've got a head on your shoulder.
Act it off! Sorry, I mean, well, you don't want to kiss me. Of course, after all, you know what they say in French.
No, what?
Yeah? Well, I guess they can say pretty well anything in French. What about it, Betty? Will you kiss me?
Oh, I don't know what to answer, Alan. Hmm? My heart says yes. My head says perhaps. But my soul says no.
Yeah? What do you hear from your liver? Betty, I'm going to take you on my arms and kiss you. I'm in.
Hey, I'll teach you to kiss my granddaughter.
Too late. I already know.
Oh, all right. Good night.
Good night. As I was saying, Betty, I'd like to be with you because you look just like my uncle.
Oh, Alan, you mean I look like my aunt, like your aunt.
Whose aunt?
Your aunt.
Let's not lock up our families, kid. Keep your aunt out of it. And take my word for it, you're better off looking like my uncle. Betty, I want to take you on my arms, and then I want to...
All right, now, suppose you just tell me what's going on out here.
Why, nothing at all, Grandpa. Mr. Young was just going to kiss me.
Oh, he was he? Well, nobody kisses my granddaughter unless they're gentlemanly about it. Now, go ahead and let's see just how much of a gentleman you are.
Oh, okay. I was just going to take her in my arms like this.
Yes?
And draw her close to me like this.
Yes?
And then kiss her like this. There.
Well, I guess that's all right. But now suppose you put me down and try it out on my granddaughter.
We pause briefly in this Blue Network Christmas program for station identification.
And here's Gracie Fields again to carry on with Christmas on the Blue.
And to start off our second half hour, we have the pleasure of presenting two of the great stars heard on the Texaco Metropolitan Opera program Saturday afternoon at 2. We can't, of course, bring you an entire opera, but we are fortunate enough to be able to bring you Mr. Lawrence Tibbett singing the famous Toreador song and Miss Reese Stevens singing the beautiful Seguidilla from Carmen. Mr. Tibbett and Miss Stevens will be heard with the Metropolitan Orchestra under the direction of Cesare Sodero. We take you now to New York.
Silvia, 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 Silv
probably the best Christmas gift I've had today.
You're more than welcome, Lisa. Do you know, music that reaches the boys who are far away from home at Christmas is a mighty important part of the season for them.
Yes, I know it, Larry. I've seen them in the Army and Navy hospitals all over the country. It's not only a privilege, it's our job to sing for them.
Well then, Lisa, what's your part of our Christmas package this year?
I think I'll sing another aria from the famous Carmen, Larry. The Segadilla.
To Hollywood.
From the Metropolitan Opera House in New York, we return to Hollywood only long enough to introduce our next guest. There are lots of nice things I could say about him, but if you are one of the millions of American listeners who tune in to the Jergens Journal at 9 o'clock Sunday night, I am sure that nothing more need be said than we take you now to Walter Winchell.
Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. Christmas Day celebrates the birthday of the only king few common people have recognized. They love him because the only realm he has ever asked is the kingdom of their hearts. But the next 2,000 years of history will be a whole lot happier than the last 2,000 if the rulers of this earth would remember that the Prince of Peace is also the King of Humility. The agony of humanity can be measured now, as it always will be, by the distance it has departed from his teachings. The terms of the only permanent peace treaty were written thousands of years ago, and they have never varied. They are the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments. They were not ushered in by flamethrowers, machine guns, warships, rocket guns, or armored cars. They were brought by a baby born in a stable. Today, on 100 battlefields, the young men of this nation are fighting his fight against greed, intolerance, and injustice. For those who fight, the nation prays that he be with them. And those who have made the supreme sacrifice, the nation knows are with him now. This Christmas, there is a special soft light from the Star of Bethlehem for the gold star in the window. He left no handwriting. Like many another great message, his words were not first written on paper. He knew that all great messages must be simple enough to be written on men's hearts. He personally spoke to only a few men, but millions of people have repeated his words. Now, through a great and a good industrial miracle, your radio, tens of millions of people can hear his message of eternal tolerance and decency without going out of their homes. The forces of evil use radio in code, a secret weapon. But for free men, speaking in the open, it is public weapon number one. For every secret enemy communique in the field, the Blue Network alone sends millions of public messages into American homes to rally American citizens to the cause of our country. Messages vital to the welfare of its free citizens, and therefore vital to the welfare of our nation. Yes, the Blue Network will be functioning long after the last enemy wireless set is silenced. But until the day that all men speak under the general bond of charity and tolerance, the decent people of the world have no choice but to speak with weapons and war bonds. We are fighting for the bond of his brotherhood, underwritten by a promise 2,000 years old. And no more effective method of helping exists today than by purchase of a war bond underwritten by the United States government. A great American war president, nearly 100 years ago, stated America's only war aim: to do the right as God gives us to see the right, and to do that with malice toward none and with charity toward all. That will be as valid 500 years from now as it was when it was repeated nearly 100 years ago by Abraham Lincoln, because it was said over 1,900 years ago by the man who gives us our hope and our strength today. And that great permanent purpose of America is why a United States war bond is the greatest possible expression of the general bond of all mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel privileged to speak of humanity's debt to radio today, because no man owes it more than I do. I believe from my heart that with the advent of radio, the forces of evil lost their greatest confederate, secrecy. And the forces of good gained their strongest ally, easy, direct, and public communication. In expressing my debt to radio as an invention, I would feel remiss if I did not express my appreciation of the Blue Network in particular. I am proud, as a broadcaster, to have the use of such a great instrument of civilization as the radio. But I am particularly proud, as a Blue Network reporter and commentator, to say that I believe this instrument of civilization is treated by the highly civilized executives of the Blue Network as a sacred trust of the American people and the people's priceless Bill of Rights. And now, may I present one of the working trustees of your Bill of Rights, a man whose high purpose matches his greatest responsibilities, Mr. Chester LaRoche.
Thank you, Walter. You are truly a national institution. Now, in this one of the great public service programs of the day, I am sure all of you who are listening will not feel it out of place if, on behalf of the Blue Network and its 190 stations, and for Mr. Noble, our chairman, I thank the famous stars and our overseas staff who have worked with us to make this program one of which we are proud. A program which we planned in the mood of the day for your pleasure and relaxation. It is our way of saying Christmas greetings and thanks for your loyalty to the Blue. As you share the spirit of the day with those dear to you at home, we of the Blue Network are mindful that out of your heart pours forth a mighty prayer to those of our flesh and blood overseas. They are fighting for what we so profoundly believe in, that this is far and away the greatest country in the world. If all these prayers surged into one, they would swell into a mighty chorus, a voice so loud that over the roar of the guns every one of our boys overseas would be sure that despite our temporary flaws or our failures of the day, never before was our home front so determined to stand shoulder to shoulder with its fighting men. The Germans and the Japs brag of their efficiency and unity of purpose, often brought about by the Gestapo and the point of the gun. But their efforts can never match ours. On D-Day, our leaders told us that we had met every demand for guns and supplies. The American volunteer method, based on information, had beaten the fascist method based on compulsion. But now, the news from the Western Front makes it clear to all of us that our leaders must ask us to do far more than we have ever done. But let us not wait. Let's get the radar equipment, the trucks, the tires, and the ammunition. Let us pile up supplies, pile on pile, until there is never again a question of enough. The Blue Network will cooperate with our war leaders in making clear what we are up against and what is needed. We will present fearlessly all sides of a problem. Our commentators are allowed to express their own opinions. They need not conform to ours. We are not afraid of the result. If the extreme liberal or the extreme conservative viewpoints are heard, as long as both are heard. Our faith is such that we believe, given all sides of a question, our people will act soundly and with judgment. That is the basis of democracy. To help make democracy grow and assume its rightful place in world leadership, we pledge ourselves to find new ways to use the full power of radio, liberally and progressively and unafraid. Thank you.
We return you now to Gracie Fields in Hollywood.
This is Gracie Fields in Hollywood again, and right now I would like you to meet three young ladies who are starting a brand new program on the Blue Network next Sunday, 4:30 p.m. for the Nash Carbonator Corporation. Christmas on the Blue presents the Andrews Sisters. Well, you know, I must say the Andrews Sisters have survived the ordeal of Christmas shopping very well.
Well, Gracie, we didn't have any problem at all this year. Mm-hmm. Christmas shopping was easy. We gave mostly war bonds.
You couldn't have picked better presents.
And they're so easy to wrap.
And they'll be so wonderful to unwrap in a few years because they will be worth a lot more money. But better than that, they will help win this war. Now then, what are you girls going to sing for us?
Well, it being Christmas, we couldn't think of anything better than Jingle Bells.
Well, okay, then. Let's hear Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Into the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing our sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells. All the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
From the blue to you, our Christmas good wishes, Herbert Marshall.
Thank you, Gracie, and greetings of the season to you and to all the blue and all America and all the world, with obvious exceptions.
But I know I speak for all of us when I say that we lend our ears on Saturday night to your show, The Man Called X, without fail.
Oh, thank you. I never miss your show, Gracie. It's excellent.
Well, thank you, but your show has so much excitement and pace and drama.
Oh, my dear Gracie, I must protest.
In fact, we have a spot on our show for you as Mr. X. X marks the spot.
Uh-huh. Now, you shouldn't have bothered.
Presenting to Herbert Marshall.
No, I...
The Man Called XYZ.
Oh, really? I did.
It's a case of the missing claw, where a Chris Kringle comes a cropper.
The double cross.
Calling Santa Claus, come in, please. Calling Santa Claus, come in, please. Oh, Santa Claus, come in, wherever you are. Here, radio listeners, is the latest news about the mysterious disappearance of the well-known gift tycoon, Santa Claus. The Greenland Weather Observation Post saw Claus riding a fair wind with his reindeer prancing along in good shape. Weather conditions remain favorable, but he's not been heard from since. Foul play is suspected. The Emergency Council is now meeting in New York to take steps.
Gentlemen, you have been called into the Emergency Council to see if you can make suggestions as to the possible cause of the disappearance of Santa Claus. But you have been of no help.
As battling a case as I, Sherlock Holmes, have ever met and must.
Amazing, my dear Holmes, amazing.
Cut up, Watson.
Yes, my dear Holmes, get off.
We are desperate, gentlemen. Do you realize that if Santa Claus does not show up, millions of people will be without gifts? Where's the thin man?
He sits out under the door. The safe went down to the bar. The FBI took Mr. Moto back to the clink, and Charlie Chan got his tongue caught in a proverb. Gentlemen, there is only one answer. We must call on the man.
You mean...
Yes, I mean...
Oh, you don't mean my...
No, I don't mean him.
But you do mean...
If you don't mean me, I'm going back to my Christmas dinner.
It's a thief. The man called X.
Call me Y. I'm in disguise.
Oh, won't you slip off your disguise, Mr. X? It's so hot in here.
Yes, it's a little stuffy.
I resent that, X.
Sorry, old boy. I meant to be offensive. Now, you will see me as I really am. I remove my beard, my dark glasses, and my false nose. Thank you, madam. Thank you.